This is RNZ Pacific News. I'm Fino Fonoa Malolele. An academic who's been studying security in the Pacific for many years believes increased U.S. engagement there is being driven largely by China's influence in the region. The American government has pledged almost 1.5 billion New Zealand dollars on a raft of new initiatives in trade, education, and climate control. The commitment will also grant sovereign status to Niue and the Cook Islands. Massey University senior lecturer Anna Powell says the growing presence of China in the Pacific is a major factor.
China looms large in this, there's no denying that. And we could argue that probably the speed by which U.S. engagement is happening is largely due to both China, but also to domestic considerations in the United States as well, wanting to get this bedded down as quickly as possible.
The Asian Development Bank has approved $3.8 million to support the restoration, conservation, and management of coral reefs in four countries in Southeast Asia and the Pacific. The project will develop climate risk financing and insurance solutions to protect coral reefs ecosystems in Fiji, Indonesia, the Philippines, and the Solomon Islands. Chief of the bank's financial sector group, Jungku Lee, says the development of innovative coral reef financing and insurance models will enhance and support the effective management of the risks coral reefs are exposed to. He says it will also improve the climate resilience and assurability of coastal assets and communities. A mosquito-borne disease expert says the spread of dangerous diseases across the Pacific has come back due to the return of international travel. A joint Pacific workshop on mosquito-borne diseases in Brisbane brought several Pacific experts together to gather further information on the subject. The workshop coordinator, Dr. Tania Russell, says inter-island transmission can be as simple as one infected person spreading the disease to the local mosquito population.
Well, one thing that we've really seen across the last couple of years with the closed borders is that COVID transmission between countries was minimized, but we also saw, particularly with dengue, that can have no cases in a small island, but then an infected person can come in and then it can take off and become quite a big outbreak. So
the Fijian community in New Zealand has launched a week-long celebration of the Fijian language, traditions and culture with events across the country. The Minister for Pacific Peoples, Aupito William Sio, marked Matawa ni Vosa Vakaviti, Fijian Language Week, by welcoming this year's theme of nurturing, preserving and sustaining the Fijian language as it's relevant in our current climate. Aupito acknowledges the enduring sustainability of Vosa Vakaviti and its importance as the Fijian community navigates their recovery from the COVID-19 pandemic.
Fiji has been hit hard by the COVID-19 pandemic, along with the ever-increasing impacts of climate change. And while it faces the road to recovery, its people can always rely on their language, traditions and values to sustain them. Now more than ever, the Fiji language, culture and identity is important to uphold both in Aotearoa New Zealand and in Fiji.
It's the second time around for many people in New Zealand who currently have COVID. About one-fifth of the 9,975 new community COVID cases reported over the past 7 days have been cases of reinfection. Sally Wenley reports.
Health Ministry figures show that in the week up to midnight last night, 33 people died with the virus. That's 21 fewer than the week before. And the number of people in hospital with the virus has fallen from 166 to 111. However, the seven-day rolling average of community cases has risen to 1,422, which is 24 more each day than in the previous week.
Samoa police have reported the shooting of two police officers on Saturday. The officers suffered minor injuries after being shot at by a 12-gauge shotgun after attempting a drug raid on a marijuana plantation at the village of Salelavalu on Savai. The officers have since recovered and have been discharged from hospital. Samoa police say the culprits, along with other accomplices, are still being apprehended. A memorandum of understanding has been signed between the Fiji Police Force and the Australian Federal Police. Known as the Sole Solevaki MOU, Fiji Police say it commits to strengthening partnerships in addressing security vulnerabilities. No other details of the MOU have been revealed. Fiji's Police Commissioner, Sitiveni Ngiliho, signed the MOU at the Australian Federal Police Headquarters in Canberra. In Vanuatu, only 180 applicants to contest the snap election on October 13th have had their names published by the Electoral Commission. The chairman of the commission, Edward Kaltamat, said his office sent out 394 application forms, but on the closing date, just 225 applicants returned their forms. Mr. Kaltamat said out of those 225, they only published the names of 180 eligible candidates. He said there are 45 names the commission has put on hold because they have debts to pay before they can have their names published on Wednesday. The commission has given them 72 hours to repay their debts, which includes land, rent, water bills and road tax. Papua New Guinea Rugby League has announced its 24-man squad for the upcoming Rugby League World Cup. The team is composed of a mixture of NRL, Super League and locally based club players. South Sydney Rabbitohs star winger Alex Johnston has been named in the squad along with Melbourne Storm's Justin Olam. Stanley Tepind says the team is assembling in Port Moresby to connect with locals.
Yeah, it was important for the team to spend this week here in PNG. We could have chosen to assemble in Brisbane or Sydney, but we felt as a coaching group and as management that it's important for them to come here.
That's it for RNZ News and Sport. You can find more updates at rnzi.com. Tonga's Rugby League World Cup squad is missing a host of star players, including the likes of Andrew Fifita, Joe Ofehengawe, and Davita Bangai Jr. Key players such as Katoni Staggs and Sitili Tuponiwa are also missing from the lineup due to injury. West Tigers Stefano Utoikamanu says last week he would have made himself he has made himself unavailable to prepare in order to prepare for next year's NRL season, while Eels prop snubbed Tonga's selection, opting to play instead for Samoa. It's still a powerful lineup, however, with uncapped star Davita Fifita named. Veteran stars Daniel Dubois, Conrad Harrell, William Hapoate and Jason Damololo return to the mix. Tonga will play a warm-up game against France on October 8th in England. Kiwis coach Michael Maguire says it's great to have so many top NRL players lining up for Tier 2 teams at the World Cup, but believes rugby league's eligibility laws need to change to stop players switching allegiance so often. Samoa and Tonga will challenge the likes of Australia, New Zealand and England at this month's tournament with a host of former Kangaroos and Kiwis playing for them. Samoa have named 8 NRL grand finalists in their squad, and Maguire says while that's good for the sport, the current rules can't continue.
It's been great for the game that, you know, guys are playing for Samoa Tonga now, and you know, I'd like to think down the track that they probably bounce into a Tier 1 position, so eligibility can be sorted out in a fashion that we're not picking and choosing who we play for.
That's it for RNZ Pacific News and Sport. You can find more updates at rnzi.com.